Hawser couldn't take much more. He looked to his left and saw a smooth ramp leading down underneath the tube the capsule travelled in. He stumbled down it into the welcomingly small space of a 200-metre-long small bay. Hawser wanted to cry. The old ship sat on three short legs, square in the centre of the bay. A few bits and pieces of equipment scattered around it. There was nobody else in the bay that Hawser could see, just machinery. The cat looked old and battered, but intact and whole. It appeared that repairs were either finished or not yet started. The main hold lift was down, resting on the smooth white deck of the bay. Hawser went over to it and saw a light ladder leading up into the brightness of the hold itself. A small insect landed briefly on his wrist. He flapped a hand at it as it flew off. How very untidy of the culture, he thought absently, to allow an insect on board one of their sparkling vessels. Still, officially at least, the ends was no longer the culture's. Wearily, he climbed the ladder, hampered by the damp cloak and accompanied by the squelching noises coming from his boots. The hold smelled familiar, though it looked oddly spacious with no shuttle in it. There was nobody about. He went up the stairs from the hold to the accommodation section. He walked along the corridor toward the mess, wondering who was alive, who was dead, what changes had been made, if any. It had only been 3 days, but he felt as though he had been away for years. He was almost at Yalson's cabin when the door was quickly pulled open. Yalson's fair-haired head came out, an expression of surprise, even joy, starting to form on it. "What?" she said, then stopped, frowned at him, shook her head and muttered something, ducking back into her cabin. Hawser had stopped. He stood there thinking he was glad she was alive, realizing he hadn't been walking properly, not like Craiklin. His tread had sounded like his own instead. A hand appeared from Yalson's door as she pulled on a light robe. Then she came out and stood in the corridor, looking at the man she thought was Craiklin, her hands on her hips. Her lean, hard face looked slightly concerned, but mostly wary. Hawser hid his hand with the missing finger behind his back. "What the hell happened to you?" she said.
"I got in a fight. What does it look like?"
He got the voice right. They stood looking at each other. "If you want any help," she began. Hawser shook his head.
"I'll manage."
Yalson nodded, half smiling, looking him up and down.
"Yeah, all right, you manage then."
She jerked a thumb over her shoulder in the direction of the mess. "Your new recruit just brought a gear aboard. She's waiting in the mess. Though, if you look in now, she might not think it's such a wonderful idea to join up."
Hawser nodded.
Yalson shrugged, then turned and walked up the corridor, through the mess toward the bridge. Hawser followed her.
"Our glorious captain," she said to somebody in the room as she went through.
Hawser hesitated at Craiklin's cabin door, then went forward to stick his head round the door of the mess. A woman was sitting at the far end of the mess table, her legs crossed over a chair in front of her. The screen was switched on above her as though she had been watching it. It showed a view of a megaship being lifted bodily out of the water by hundreds of small lifter tugs clustered under and around it. They were recognisably antique culture machines. The woman had turned from the sight, though, and was gazing toward Hawser when he looked round the side of the door. She was slim and tall and pale. She looked fit, and her black-coloured eyes were set in a face just starting to show worried surprise at the battered face looking at her from the doorway. She had on a light suit, the helmet of which lay on the table in front of her. A red bandana was tied round her head, below the level of her close-cropped red hair.
"Oh, Captain Craiklin," she said, swinging her feet off the seat and leaning forward, her face showing shock and pity. "What happened?"
Hawser tried to speak, but his throat was dry. He couldn't believe what he saw. His lips worked and he licked them with a dry tongue. The woman started to rise from the table, but he put out one hand and gestured her to stay where she was. She sat slowly back down, and he managed to say,
"I'm all right. See you later. Just stay there."
Then he pushed himself away from the door and stumbled down the corridor to Craiklin's cabin. The ring fitted into the door and it swung open. He almost fell inside. In something like a trance, he closed the door, stood there looking at the far bulkhead for a while, then slowly sat down on the floor. He knew he was still stunned. He knew his vision was still blurred and he wasn't hearing perfectly. He knew it was unlikely, or if it wasn't, then it was very bad news indeed. But he was also sure, absolutely certain.
as certain as he had been about Craiglin when he first walked up that ramp to the damage table into the arena. As though he hadn't had enough shocks for one evening, the sight of the woman sitting at the messroom table had all but silenced him and stopped his mind from working. What was he going to do? He couldn't think. The shock was still resounding through his mind. The image seemed stuck behind his eyes. The woman in the messroom was Peristek Balveda.